serving veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and an eye-opening conversation with 93-year-old Viora Bliss Baldwin today. We've heard about her childhood in rural South Dakota without any of the modern conveniences that we don't think we could live without today. How after high school, she moved to Denver to be a Rosie the Riveter, modifying American planes. Continental Airlines ran a modification center there that added gun turrets, installed bomb bay doors. There in Denver, they worked on B-17s, even P-51 Mustang fighter planes, and eventually B-29 bombers like the ones that would decimate Tokyo. Of course, there were some other B-29s modified a little differently in what they called silver plate fashion that would drop atomic weaponry on Hiroshima and Nagasaki and accelerate the surrender of Japan. If you go to hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page, you'll see what Viora looked like in her Rosie the Riveter days, as well as her nonagenarian smile, which was beaming broadly on her trip to Washington, D.C. in 2016 with Utah Honor Flight. And I want to talk to you about the honor flight, as I said. But when you think about that role that you played, as some have put it, stepping into what a man would have been doing, but in the process proving what women were capable of, and working on planes that would eventually bring the war to an end. When you look back on what you did for that brief time, what gives you the most pride?
The fact that we were able to just help to do whatever we could during the war. I'm just really proud of being able to help.
And other than that initial comment from your crew chief that you shared with me that he didn't think women should be there doing that, did you ever encounter those kind of sentiments or any kind of bias or discrimination just because you're a woman?
Not other than that, I don't think. I don't remember anyway.
So you're saying they figured out pretty quick they shouldn't mess with you? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, don't mess with the women. We can do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and now you've got 70 years of history since that. When you look at how the world has changed, do you look back and feel like what you and those other ladies did have something to do with that, with the opportunities that your daughters and granddaughters and great-granddaughters have had?
Yes, I do. I think the women during the war working like they did has paved the way for other women to take part in different businesses and manufacturing and everything. So it was the beginning of the women being out and around.
And people who listen to this show have heard a lot about Honor Flight. It's happening all over the country where volunteers get together and take veterans free of charge to Washington, D.C. so they can see the memorials that honor those who never came home. It's been happening in Utah here for quite a long time, and they've done a marvelous job of getting veterans to Washington, D.C. But a lot of times, people like you who weren't technically in the military don't get a chance to go. So someone must have made a pretty strong case that what you did during the war mattered and was deserving. How did you find out that you were getting to go on this special trip to our nation's capital?
Actually, we were at a wedding reception one night, and my grandson knew this man that had worked with the Honor Flight, and he told him about me, and so they invited me to go. And I was the only one on our flight that wasn't a veteran. I was rather intimidated at the time because I was afraid that they would think I was out of place. But they were all very nice. They said, we couldn't have done it without you. And I said, you know, that's right. If you'd have had airplanes up there with no gun turrets, you wouldn't have had much luck.
What do you remember about that experience? What are some of the things you got to do, and what did it mean to you?
The whole group met. When we met the first morning, there was a brass band there and honoring us, and they had the mayor there, and we got to see our senator when we were in Washington. But they were so good. They were divided into two groups, and each busload had a woman who was in charge, and they had everything just down pat. They knew what was going on, and they knew how to get things done. When we went to the airport, we were met by a band that had bagpipers. They played for us, and then as we went through the airport, everybody stood up and applauded. It was exciting. And they had three women who were dressed like the Andrews sisters, and they were very popular during the war, so they sang songs that they sang during the war. One young man asked me to dance with him, and I danced with him. That was fun. Yeah. We had to each have a guardian, they called it, with us. And everybody had to have a wheelchair, so the guardian pushed the wheelchair. And we could get out and walk around if we wanted to, but we had to have the wheelchair with us. They had asked the guardians to get letters from the families, so they had mail called during the flight. So there were a lot of tears on a nice letters. But then actually we stayed in Maryland, and we arrived there, and then they had a dinner that night for us, and they had entertainment. Every place we went, we were welcomed with band music, and they took us from one memorial to another. And they advised us that the Washington Monument was the only monument in the city, that the rest were memorials. The memorial for the World War II was a new one to me. I hadn't seen that before. I'd seen some of the others, and it was a new one, and it was gorgeous. It was just beautiful.
And I'm just thinking back to what we've discussed. We talked about your three brothers who were all serving during the war. You were doing your part in the Modification Center, working on those bombers. And you mentioned that when your brother went missing, that there was a neighbor of yours from South Dakota who had been killed that day. Did you think about him when you looked at all those gold stars at the World War II Memorial?
Yes, I thought about all the young men who were gone. You can't help but think about it. Just do your part and try to get them back.
Do you remember his name, the neighbor who was killed in the war?
It was Charlie Bader, B-A-D-E-R. He was killed in Italy. And I knew a few other families who had young people killed, but I didn't have anybody in our own family, thank goodness.
And you lived through it when it happened. But being there at that World War II memorial, and you know, you've got all those pillars for every state. You've got South Dakota where you grew up. You've got Utah where you live now, other states that you've lived. You've got the different battles that are depicted. There's some storyboards and then engraving on some of that stone, the fountain, and then those gold stars, 406,000 Americans who didn't come home from the war. Was that a lot to try to digest? Even though you lived through the time, was it kind of overwhelming to see all of that in that setting?
It was overwhelming, and it was difficult because we didn't really have enough time to linger long enough to see everything, but the plaques that were around there were just beautiful. They had, I think they were in copper plaques, and then they had the big memorials for each state. Yeah, it was fun to go back and see the one that was for your own states and the place states you'd lived in. It was just exciting to see it all in the beautiful water with the fountain in the middle, and on each end of the memorial they had a one was for the Pacific and one was for the Atlantic, and each one had these huge eagles that weighed tons. It's a wonder they could hang them up there and keep them there. But they were just beautiful. Then another memorial that I hadn't seen was Franklin D. Roosevelt, and they had a lot of memories in there. They had one place where they showed people sitting around listening to the radio for the announcement. There were just so many things. We went by the Iwo Jima Memorial and stopped at the gravesite where Kennedy is buried. The Vietnam Memorial with all the names on it, it brings back to you what's happened. I had seen that before, but it seemed more important this time.
And you mentioned the mail call. So many servicemen experienced that during the war, and you guys had that on the flight where you get all these letters and notes, and you've got a big family. I'm sure you had tons of mail. I bet coming back to Salt Lake was pretty special, too.
Yes, it was. We all had our families there to greet us, and the kids had made posters to welcome me home. And then they had the governor of Utah spoke to us. A group of motorcycle warriors, and I can't remember what they called them, they led the buses to the airport, and again, they led us back to the armory when we got back. When we got to the airport, they would stand in there with their flags to honor us as we entered, and the same thing when we came back out. They would have their flags, and then they'd get on their motorcycles and lead us back. They were very nice, and they presented me with a flag that I use.
I'm sure there are many years of your life where you felt like nobody cared about that time that you spent in the war and what you did. But now you get a free trip to the Capitol. You're cheered as a hero all over Washington, D.C. Your Senator Orrin Hatch is there to greet you. The governor's here waiting for you when you get back. How did that whole thing make you feel about what you had done?
I was proud again of what we had done, and it really brought back a lot of memories.
Well, and I realized that I neglected to ask you something important, too, about at the memorial. I asked if you're thinking about your brothers or the neighbor that had died, but you've been widowed twice, and both of your husbands served in World War II, and they didn't get to go to that World War II memorial. I bet you thought about them when you were there.
I did. Would have been nice if they could have gone. There's so much of it that's been built since they were gone, but it was a very, very, very nice trip, and it was quite an honor.
I've had a lot of veterans say that they wish we could get back to the unity that America displayed during World War II. What do you think caused that? Where do you think that came from?
I just remember how patriotic everybody was at that time, and you don't see that now. I think it's just that everybody worked so hard to make everything go on and work together. Families were together more. I think we all sat down at the table together, and now they sit in front of the TV and eat their dinners, and it just is a lot different.
Well, I don't want to forget to say thank you. Thank you for finding a way to serve our country during World War II, and thank you for telling us about it. Is there something that now at 93 you'd say you're most proud of or most thankful for?
I'm thankful for my childhood. I had a good family. I had a good childhood. I had work experience when I went to work later on, and I think that's the thing that I'm most proud of.
And what about unfinished business? You still have something on your list that you haven't done yet that you're hoping to pull off?
No, just live till tomorrow each day.
And I have to imagine that you've been asked this once or twice if you've got 7 kids and 24 grandkids and 31 great-grandkids. What about any advice, any wisdom that you've picked up along the way that you think those of us younger folks should keep in mind?
I think to show love to your family and keep them together. And one of the things I think is really important is getting together at dinner time. It's the time we had the most fun at our house was dinner time. And you could visit and see what's going on. Have a special time to find out what's going on in your families. That's one of my favorite things.
And no smartphones.
Yeah, get off the smartphones. See a picture of Grandma coming to visit, and everybody's anxious to see her, and they're sitting around looking at their smartphones.
Well, you wouldn't get away with that if Viora's around, as her daughter Leslie knows quite well. With the brief time we have left today, let's hear from Leslie about what she's picked up from her mom's life and example.
I just feel that my parents, mom coming from the background she came from, and my father coming from the background that he came from, just really gave them a patriotism that was passed on to us as children. And we've all been very patriotic. Every holiday we would go, all of us, 7 children and my parents, and we'd have to go out and hang the flag in front of the neighborhood, and it was always a little embarrassing at the time, but it taught us great patriotism. You know, we were definitely always the first ones that stood when a flag went by at a parade and so forth. So the patriotism that they feel has gone on to our families. And my son, for instance, leads some bravery from heroes past. And I just think that it just continues on and on. And it's come from her parents, my dad's parents, all the way through. That's the greatest thing, I think, that's come from my parents is our patriotism.
Another legacy that Viora Bliss Baldwin can be very proud of. Don't forget to check out the photos, a brief video, and other information at hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. Thanks again to Viora's son, Bill, for bragging on his mom a little bit and cluing me in. And thank you for listening to Hometown Heroes today. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.